Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The guy to have to the plate. He's hitting .313 with runners in scoring position, and he clubs one to right, and that's down for a base hit. Almonte waved home. Here's the throw from Conforto. He is out. Conforto fired up. He threw a missile from right field, and McCann got the tag on Almonte.
We got a big hit. You know, they made a great play. Conforto made a great play. I mean, he couldn't throw that ball any better. And, you know, it's just, yeah, one of them things. I mean, it's tough. Part of the game, man.
Yeah, deflating loss last night. We'll be breaking it down today on the Buck Ballew Show here on the Fan 680 and 93.7. Busy day all the way around. Braves and Mets 12-10 here on the home of the Braves, 680 The Fan. So we're going to get out here a little early today. We got the boys up there covering the Falcons. Flowery Branch Falcons practice number one today. Anxious to hear more about that coming up tomorrow. But we're sponsored by Wellstar Health System. More than health care, people care. Got Matt Lear running the show with Adam Gillespie. What do you say we get to work? Get to that big take.
Bucks, big take.
All right, another deflating, frustrating loss with the Atlanta Braves last night. They woke up this morning in New York, 5 games back of the Mets, 60 games to play. Obviously, this team needs some help. Specifically, need some bullpen help. But as you saw last night, the lineup not consistently putting enough runs on the board to help this team make a run at the title again. 6, 7, and 8 in this batting order has got to be the weakest in Major League Baseball right now. So adding another outfielder is necessary to give this team a shot at the postseason. Almonte, Heredia, and I believe Kevin Smith, the catcher, was hitting 8th last night. Just isn't going to get the job done at the bottom of the lineup. Now, Guillermo Heredia is 4 for his last 29, hitting .175 in the month of July, and is really nothing special defensively. I'm just saying. In spite of the fact that the Braves lead the league in attendance and are making some money because of it, don't expect Anthopoulos to be adding big, expensive pieces by tomorrow's trade deadline coming up at 4 p.m. There's not going to be any Joey Gallo or Starling Marte or Craig Kimbrell coming to help save the season. Mr. Baseball, that's me. The recommendation is this. I'm just kidding. This is the Buck Ballew Show recommendation. All right, go get some bullpen help today, Alex, please. And then how about replacing Heredia in the lineup with Christian Pache out in center field? I mean, let's give Pache another opportunity to hit big league pitching. He had a 2-home run game last week in AAA Gwinnett with the Stripers. He's swinging the bat a little better in AAA. He's swinging the bat better than Heredia right now. I can guarantee you that. And Pache is better defensively. It's time to go all in. There's no time to waste. Give Pache another shot. He's a better player than Guillermo Heredia. If Pache was hitting .175 this month, the Braves would have already sent his butt down to the Stripers. So why are we still going with Heredia? To me, it just doesn't make much sense. And we'll have a Braves legend coming up here in a moment to maybe answer that question. Right now, though, I wanted to hit some college football and wanted to go this direction where, you know, as we shift gears here, allow the prince of college football, me. No, I'm just kidding. There's no fancy name to go along with the college football talk. What went wrong with Will Muschamp at South Carolina? Why did the Gamecocks have to cut him loose, give him that huge payoff check to get out of town? Why did the Gamecocks ultimately have to show him the door? Well, I asked the voice of the Gamecocks, Todd Ellis, this week. I asked him that question, and here was his response.
Well, I would say what Coach Muschamp said to me there towards the end when we were close, and I have great respect for him and saw the work ethic there and saw the details, saw the passion. I mean, there's nobody who wants to win more than he did. He said it. He just did not get enough good players. He got a lot of good players. He just didn't get enough of them to win the games and be the difference maker. I mean, Buck, you and I talked about it before. The reason we run 33 games under Coach Spurrier and his staff in a three-year time frame and we're in the top 10 is because most of the time we had the four or five best players on the field. And Clowney and Melvin Ingram and Marcus Lattimore and Connor Shaw, those were special players.
So there's the answer right there. Todd Ellis, former Gamecock great at quarterback, now the voice of the Gamecocks calling those games. A lot of respect for Will Muschamp. A lot of people have a lot of respect for Will. I do too. But it didn't work out because they couldn't get enough five-star impact players in there to play for the Gamecocks. Now, how is that going to be different now with Shane Beamer? Well, I mentioned this earlier this week. Shane Beamer, really impressive dude, right? When you sit down in front of him, you're totally impressed. And one thing he's been able to do, recruiting on the Georgia staff and then recruiting on that Oklahoma staff, spent some time out in the Midwest and the Texas area. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see Beamer now expand the footprint of South Carolina Gamecock recruiting and be able to maybe bring some of these big-time players in to help win some of those games that are hanging in the balance where Coach Muschamp came up a little bit short. Now, I'm thankful Coach Will Muschamp is now on Kirby Smart staff over at Georgia. He's now assisting Kirby and Dan Lanning and Glenn Schumann as they get ready to face Clemson coming up in a little over 40 days. I'm sure he is game planning right now, talking personnel, talking scheme, trying to come up with the best plan possible to slow down this Clemson Tiger offense. That's what Muschamp is doing right now. Instead of, well, hitting the recruiting scene, trying to sign these big-time players at South Carolina. By the way, the Todd Ellis interview, that's off my Bucks Beat podcast. You can find this anywhere you get your podcast. And the podcast is sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. If you're dreaming of a Lake Lanier property or a home up 400, call Mickey at 678-341-7474 or go to GetMickey.com, click, and speak with an expert. You can hear the remaining part of that podcast, the entire interview with Todd Ellis. You can check that out. We revealed that. We dropped it yesterday. Bucks Beat, episode number 25, with the voice of the Gamecocks, Todd Ellis. Yeah, it's good to have Muschamp on this Georgia staff. And, Road Dog, do you think I got it right? This is what Muschamp is doing this summer. He's basically in a room with Schumann and Lanning and Kirby, and he's trying to design the ultimate game plan to beat Clemson in the season opener.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's helping out. That's a big part of what he is doing on this staff, especially this summer. I think with his experience, having played Clemson the last few years or every year that he's been at South Carolina, he definitely knows Dabo and his tendencies and his staff. And he's familiar with their personnel on the field as well. Because, look, they returned basically their whole defense.
Yeah. And, you know, I got these people say, you know, Ballou, come on, man. Clemson scored like 100 a game on South Carolina while Muschamp was there.
Yeah, but those were with South Carolina players. Yeah. That's not against Georgia players.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it was a bad plan, right? They just couldn't execute the plan. There is some talk about them simplifying. There was a lot of NFL terminology along with Will Muschamp's defensive scheme. Reportedly, they are, you know, thinning that out a little bit at South Carolina. And, man, I don't know, Road Dog, about you, but I was totally impressed with Shane Beamer. And this is what impressed me about him. He came down Radio Row earlier in the day and did a few interviews and said hello to a lot of people. He did that, you know, that Marty and that show on ESPN.
Marty and McGee.
Yeah, Marty and McGee. He was in there for a good hour.
Yeah, they were doing life biographies in that room.
It seemed like they
were holding coaches.
They probably took the rest of the year off and just run these interviews.
Yeah, they don't, Yeah, exactly. They don't have to work again. And I was completely impressed with Shane as well, Coach Beamer. I don't want to make any coaches mad by calling them by their first name. But I know that day on Monday for you, Coach O won the day. For me on Monday,
yeah, Coach O, go Tigers.
Coach Beamer won the day, especially being a first-time head coach and the first time for him in that SEC Media Days environment, coming down, doing Radio Row, being very professional, doing what he did upstairs. I was impressed with Coach Beamer, the little bit of access we got to him when he was at Georgia. So I think he's going to transition to a head coach at South Carolina very well. Now, what is the goal? What is your
recruit.
The roof at South Carolina? Unfortunately, I think that's a little unattainable for him to get to what their expectations are. So hopefully this isn't his first and only coaching opportunity as a head coach.
Yeah, all these coaches, some of them just aren't people-friendly. Beamer is. I mean, he was totally comfortable just coming up, just shooting the bull or doing the interview. And I tell you, the thing about Shane that really jumped out at me was, you know, we were told, look, we'll come back down later in the day, Buck, and we'll be able to allow you to get with Shane Beamer and get him on an interview a little later in the day. And I was thinking, yeah, I've heard that before. I mean, my goodness, I've heard that about 1,000 times. And, you know, about 999 of them, the coach never made it down to do the interview. But you know what? Shane Beamer actually followed up on that promise. Came down late in the afternoon. He had already gotten all the work done. Came back down and hung out for a good 10, 15 minutes and did the interview. Lear, totally impressed with Shane Beamer. He's got a big job at South Carolina. Better recruit, better. But totally impressed with him up there. So, yeah, there you go. First segment of the show, we're moving fast today, right? We got the Braves, Mets coming up at 12:10. We're going to have to get out a few minutes early. Coming up next, a Braves legend joins the show to talk about the trade deadline situation. Next on the Buck Ballew Show, here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
It's the Buck Ballew Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. And if you miss it, you can catch it on the show podcast, 680thefan.com, or if you've got the Fan app. So you can actually listen to the show anytime you get ready to. Help us spread the word, by the way. We've got two Braves Nationals tickets we're going to give away right now. 404-231-1680. Hopefully we'll still be in the mix. You'll see some big-time baseball. Two Braves tickets we'll give away right now just for listening to the show, man. It's easy to win. Listening to the Buck Ballew Show. Coming up in less than 10, a trend the new Falcons need to get rid of, plus one of the all-time greats joins me on the Bulldog Roundtable coming up a little later in this segment of the show. Right now, though, we got a big-timer, A-lister, celebrity we need to get on. Let's chop it up.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Yeah, he's a legend, all right. Braves TV analyst Jeff Francoeur, friend of the show, friend of the station. Hear you on one of the other shows, Nick and Chris, all the time. Jeff, thank you for coming on. We need some A-list celebrities first 2 weeks of the new show. So you followed up on your promise. We appreciate it.
Hey, Buck, you know I appreciate it, and glad to be on with you, man. Congrats.
Hey, I hate to hit you with the obvious right off the bat, but we got this trade deadline staring us down tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock. So what do you believe Anthopoulos will do before the deadline tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you what. When you start looking at it and really breaking it down, I'd love to see us get a bat. I mean, I really do at this point. I think you need to add an outfielder, someone that can add some offense. You know, look, the pitching's been good, really. I mean, the pitching has been just fine. I know there's been struggles in the bullpen, but to me, at the end of the day, you know, the idea of adding a bat and adding some offense is kind of, I think, probably the number one priority right now.
Well, I'll tell you, the boy, the word got out at the coffee shop this morning. You were coming on my show, and they said, well, ask Frank Coor if he's got any game left. He hit 160 bombs during his career. So, Jeff, have they called you about coming in, being that extra bat in the outfield?
I'm not giving up my golf game right now. You know, I'm enjoying playing too much. No, I think it's like anything right now. This team could use an outfielder. I mean, I really believe that with my heart, that they could use an outfielder, someone to add some pop to this lineup.
And what are they willing to give up to get that, do you believe, Jeff? We saw some of these teams making deals yesterday to get better. Saw one deal, Gallo, I believe the Yankees had, what, four or five mid-level prospects they involved in that deal. What are we willing to give up? I noticed we've got four outfielders in the top 12 prospects for the Atlanta Braves. We got pitching, too.
Yeah, well, and it all depends. Like I said, if you get a two-month rental player, to me, you don't have to give up too much. You might take on some contracts. I think the big key is if you get a guy that's controllable beyond this year and he really fits into the plans, then it's worth taking a look, you know, at giving something a little more up to help you win next year. It reminds me of, you know, the Reds 2 years ago traded for Trevor Bauer with the idea of, hey, we're not really in it this year, but next year we think we're going to have a much better team. And look, it got them to the playoffs last year. So I think there's definitely something to look into that.
All right, we're struggling to score runs. I'm with you. I'm frustrated, deflated, coming off that game last night. 6, 7, and 8 in the lineup, Jeff. My goodness. Weak is probably the most positive thing I could say.
Yeah,
how do we get that solved right now?
That's my point. If you're able to get Darno back in the next 10 days and add a bat, then you lengthen the lineup, you know? And so if you get a middle-of-the-order bat, you know, Austin Riley, Dansby, those guys could even slot down a little bit farther. That's what made us so good last year, was those guys were hitting 6 and 7 and adding that pop to the back of the lineup, because you said it right now. I mean, that bottom of the lineup right now, if you got a good pitcher out there, they can navigate it pretty easy, and you're seeing it night in and night out.
You know, I was saying earlier, the way Heredia is struggling right now, I'd give Pache another look.
Well, and that's why, Buck, I think an outfielder is kind of who I think would make a lot of sense to do that. Because, Heredia has done a good job filling in for the time. He's starting to get exposed a little bit. You're seeing a lot of high fastballs just blown right by him. He's not able to catch up. You know, he's real late to it. So that's the thing. You start looking at, you know, who do we need and where does it fit in? And, you know, I think about a name like Chris Bryant for me, you know, that you could slide over there into left field. You could always play Almonte in center field. Or as you said, you could bring Pache back and say, hey, let's see what the kid's got, bat him eighth, and see what he can do.
Yeah, giving him another shot. I believe Ian Trout got sent down originally before
he came out
and play ball. So, Enoa, where does he fit? Do you expect him back? When do you expect him back? Is he a starter? I don't think there's enough time to stretch him out, right? He's got to come out of the bullpen like he's done before.
I think so. And I think it also depends, you know, what the plan is. You know, I think when you talk about him starting, you know, if you wanted him to give you 3-4 innings, he could probably do that in another couple weeks. But I agree. I think, look, the idea of him being a back-end bullpen guy throwing 98, it reminds me of Wainwright in 06. You know, he got hurt. He didn't have time to come back. They threw him there. He ended up, you know, being the closer for that World Series team. And, you know, look, next year you want him back in that starting rotation. To me, I want him pitching every 5 days. But like you said, not having the time to get back right now, I'd love to see him slide into that bullpen somewhere and really just come out and tell him, hey, one inning, let it rip.
Aren't we better than the Mets and Phillies?
Absolutely. Look, if we were in any other division, Buck, we'd be sitting here talking about Charlie Morton's gone. You know, Drew Smiley might be gone, other guys. And I said it on air again last night. I've said it 3-4 days in a row. The Mets have a 13-game run in mid-August where they're 13 straight games –
against the Dodgers and Giants, out west and at home. And I said, during the meantime, the Braves play the Marlins during that time, the Orioles, I think the Nats, and then two with the Yankees. So big swing game today. If you can get today and you're within four, that's what I said. The Phillies are pretty much tied with us. So you're really chasing down one team. And so that's why I think we're in a, such a different scenario than all the other teams. You look at the Cardinals. Yes, they got pretty much the same record as us. Well, you know what? They're 9.5 behind the Brewers. Good night. You know, you're gone. You know, they're not going to reach wild card. So the Braves are in an interesting scenario with our division. And, you know, it gives them a shot to get in.
Jeff, what are you hearing about Freddie Freeman? Are the Braves going to be able to lock him down?
Well, I hope so. You know, I still say that, you know, Freddie wants it to happen and the Braves want it to happen. And, you know, usually when that happens, something is able to get done. I think like anything, though, hopefully after this trade deadline, maybe the next month, you'll see some stuff start to move in the right direction. But, I mean, that to me, you got to keep him. You got to sign him. He's been the heart and soul of this team. And, look, to find a power hitter, much less a left-handed one like him, there are not many out there.
Austin Riley, people are starting to jump in on him, right? There were some doubters out there. I think he's had that breakout season he needed to have this year.
He did. I think he showed that he can handle that third base job every day. He's playing great defense. He can add that power bat. And as I said, you know, to me in a perfect lineup, Buck, he's a great five-hole hitter. I think if you could get that one more big bat, you know, like say you got a Chris Bryant, you could throw Bryant in that four hole and just move Austin back one to that five hole, and it really just lengthens your lineup. So, but I think the great news is Austin showing the strides he's made, the pitches he's, you know, starting to be able to lay off and make adjustments. And, you know, for me, you're tickled to death because it was first 3 weeks of season. Look, I think we all were saying, is this the guy that's going to be our third baseman? Well, I think he's kind of put that to rest.
I was talking earlier this week about Dansby Swanson and the fact that, you know, it's coming off that grand slam that he had, though. So I was a little excited about that. And I was pointing out there are only like three or four maybe shortstops in all of baseball that I would rather have than Dansby Swanson. And it's because, Jeff, I appreciate the all-around skill set, right? I mean, he's played a lot of games without an error, I believe 40 or something without an error.
43,
so he's,
yeah.
Yeah, 43 games. Look, he's projected to hit 28 bombs if you want a guy hitting the ball at shortstop, score 70 runs, drive in 70 runs, and then the thing nobody talks about is he shows up ready to go to work every day. I believe he's got close to 100 starts so far this season. Only Brandon Crawford has done that more at the shortstop spot. I think he's underappreciated here with the Braves.
I agree, and I think, look, I think the big thing that we've watched with Dansby that I think he's gotten better with, and I would say the strikeouts. The high strikeout that first half this year I think was a little bit alarming. I think you've seen him kind of nip that now, and he's putting the ball in play more, and he's doing, you know, look, at the end of the day, I think you said it best. He is an all-around player. His base running, his defense, what he does, that's his job to me. And, you know, you're not going to, you know, Trevor Story, the type of guy, and look, Trevor's not having a great year this year, but, you know, he's not a 40 home run type guy, but if he does exactly what he's doing, does the little things right, then to me it makes a world of difference. And, you know, I think he's done a great job. Like I said, the strikeouts is the only thing that I could sit there and say, hey, we need to cut down. But if you watch him, he's really cut down on that the last month.
All right, you can see Jeff today, right? You're on the job. Braves, Mets, 12-10. Francoeur on the Bally's, the lead analyst, I heard him saying. Jeff, you're having another outstanding year. We appreciate you being on the show today with us, man.
Buck, appreciate you having me on, man. Always a blast.
Have another good day. We appreciate you. And there he goes, Jeff Francoeur. I bet he's like in the parking deck, and he's just doing the interview and ready to walk on in and call the game. Want to talk a little Falcons football. Before we move on to some other topics here in this segment, Falcons have practice number one going on at training camp today. And I ran across something in preparation for the show, doing some show prep. Yes, we do some of that in this business. Ran across this, that the Falcons defense last season allowed 66 plays of 20 yards or more. 66 explosion plays, some people call it. And do you know what? That was the worst, the absolute worst in the National Football League. I believe the Lions had 66, too. So we were actually tied for last and giving up big plays. Sheffield, if you're wondering, yeah, he gave up the most. He allowed 9 plays over 20 yards. Folks, I mean, no wonder we've got a new head coach in here. And I think a lot of this had to do with the scheme that Q was playing with the Falcons, this off-cover 3 zone, the most conservative defense you could ever play. Totally asking the cornerback to line up about 8 to 12 yards off and then backpedal at the snap of the ball and then come up and do some space tackling. It's what Q was hoping for. And no, they were lighting you up, man. They were carving the Falcons defense up. 66 plays of over 20 yards. Worst in the NFL. So we got a new cornerback. First round pick a year ago, A.J. Terrell from Clemson. Local area kid here in Atlanta. Year number 2, expecting him to be even better than what he showed to be a year ago, which I think he flashed some really starting worthy of being a first round pick potential a year ago. I saw him flash the skill set a little bit. But who's on the other side is a big question in training camp. Is it this Fabian Moreau? I think he's got a cool name. Fabian Moreau. It sounds like some model. He started for that Washington football team about 4 years ago. I don't think he's really played a heck of a lot since. But they brought him in, Fabian Moreau. And then you got Isaiah Oliver. T brought him in, I believe, a second-round pick, if I remember correctly, out of Southern Miss. Loved his wingspan. Man, he's been getting lit up ever since he showed up. Then you got Kendall Sheffield. I just mentioned he led the team and giving up big plays last season. Then you got this rookie, this 4th-round pick that Fontenot took, Darren Hall from San Diego State. Dude, I hope he's got some game. And you got Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator, and his scheme is there. And he's already said it publicly. Falcons defensive coordinator says, we're going to blitz everybody on defense. Now, not on the same play. He's not going to blitz 11 guys like Joe Lee Dunn used to down here in Deep South college football. I mean, he was a little bit crazy, man. I mean, you didn't know who to block. Now, Pease ain't going to blitz all 11 on the same play. But if you're going to blitz, you're going to play a heavy dose of man-to-man coverage. So you need to be able to cover. So are we really counting on Fabian Moreau to cover up one side of the field? I think that's probably a dangerous thing to be hoping for. You better get to the quarterback more. So maybe that's what Pease is trying to get to. Look, we can't cover him for an extended period of time. So we better get to the quarterback and get the quarterback on the ground.
I think you nailed it.
Because we can't cover. And, yeah, Q, wishing you the best of luck out there with the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? We better get to some college football nuggets before one of the GOATs, one of the greatest of all time, shows up. Yeah.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Yeah, we've got nuggets today. We're going to lead with this, the 7th annual Tailgate Golf Classic presented by Kroger, coming up Monday, August the 30th. Now, the tournament is sold out. Sold out. Want to thank some of our sponsors. Got Brown & Company Jewelers, making a lot of people happy in town. Corona Extra, Bright Path Mortgage, Kroger, and PGA Tour Superstore. Appreciate all of our fine sponsors coming up in the event. We've got a lot of these big-time college players, former college players, coming out to tee it up and have a little fun. For details, more information, visit 680thefan.com. Let's get to SEC realignment. Have you heard this, the four-team pod idea that's floating around out there? Here's how it would work in the SEC. One of the pods, you would have Arkansas, Missouri, joined by Oklahoma and Texas. Makes a little sense. Another pod would have LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. That makes sense. The third pod would have Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. And then you would have Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, and South Carolina in a pod. Now, You would play the teams in your pod every year with this plan. You would play two other teams in the other pods on a rotating basis. So if you expanded to a nine-game conference schedule, then you would play home and away versus every SEC team during a four-year span, during the 4 years the players were on campus, which I think is a great, great thing with this plan. Now, it would eliminate some of the rivalry games out there. You wouldn't be able to see Tennessee, Florida, Florida, LSU, things like that every single year. So that would be one of the drawbacks. The four-team pods. Hey, it sounds pretty hip. Road Dog, you liking this one?
You know, I have mixed feelings on this because when you look at the pods that you gave, and of course, this is all speculation at this point, and these pods came from SI.com. If you look at our pod for Georgia, I always look at it from the Georgia perspective. We keep the Florida rivalry every year. Hopefully that will stay down in Jacksonville. We keep South Carolina, and we keep Kentucky, but we lose our yearly rival with Auburn and Tennessee, and those are two big rivals for Georgia, and I would hate to give those up every year. Take away Kentucky. Get those out of our pod. Get him out of our pod. Put in Tennessee, and then figure out a way to do Auburn maybe more often, and I'd be more in favor with this. But, yeah, I would hate to lose those two. But also, another key, though, I'm glad I'm not in Alabama's pod, because that pod's going to be tough every year for those other three teams.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Auburn's used to it. And I think one of the things I really respect about the Auburn Tiger program, there's no back down. Taking on Alabama every single day of the year is what they have to do. There's no back down with Auburn. They've actually won a couple of those games.
Yeah, the one of the few SEC teams that has won those games over the last few years. But, man, the one rivalry I've got to keep, in my opinion, is Florida. That's the one for me that I would be, I hate to say it, but heartbroken to lose every year. But, man, losing Tennessee and Auburn is not fun. And, of course, Vanderbilt, who cares if you lose Vanderbilt and you don't play them, but it once every few years.
A lot of people out there think Hoyt and Lose are fun. And want to invite you to join those guys, those wild and crazy guys, on the Jim Beam Highball Highway at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna the Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then they'll, I guess, hopefully catch a cab. I mean, we don't want these guys driving, especially a station vehicle.
They will. They're really responsible.
They're going to go to Johnny McCracken's at 9 p.m. in Marietta to finish off the night. You can help celebrate the launch of that audio fun bag show right here on 680 The Fan with Lose and Hoyt, who will be buying Jim Beam highballs for the fans of the show. Now, is that legal?
I think so.
And we've got some capable attorneys that work with us here at 680 The Fan. We better consult with these guys.
We'll get Bruce on the line.
All right, let's get to the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, 4-5, 15, 10, 5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
All right, let's bring on five-time Olympic medalist, four gold medals, Lady Bulldog Hall of Famer, Jersey retired number 5, two-time All-American, pride of Cairo, Georgia. Let's bring on Teresa Edwards to the Bulldog Roundtable. Teresa, such an honor having you on the show today.
Oh, man, I've been waiting all my life to sit around with you, man.
I'm telling you, we were on campus a little bit there together, and I was totally a big fan, cheering you on from a distance during those days with Andy Landers, one of my all-time favorites. I'm guessing he was a big influence on your career.
The biggest. He taught me. He opened up the airways to how I could fly in the game, man. He challenged me. He taught me things. I grew exponentially under his wing. So he's the biggest.
How about those players you played with at Georgia? Who stands out as you look back at the days with those girls?
Oh, man, you're trying to make them all mad at me. You know,
you're not playing favorites, honey.
Man, Janet Harris was the woman. And Katrina McClain came in and lifted us. But we had so many great ones like Lisa O'Connor and Susie Gardner and then Wanda Holloway, Amanda Abrams. Man, we had people, Tracy Wakes and they just – we kept coming. At that time, we were Final Four like crazy, man. We were doing it. We put Georgia on the map.
Absolutely. A couple of Final Fours thrown in there, man. Those were good times tracking you guys. Tell us about the Olympics. We've got it going on right now. You were 20 years old, I believe, in 84, was it? Tell us about that first Olympic experience for you.
That's exactly what it was. It's so much excitement going on. I really didn't play that much. I got off the bench and as nervous as ever, but then excited, you know, like everything was the first time. I realized it was bigger than a tournament, man. I was like, this is the world stage. So my eyes opened up so big. My game, my life, everything just became like, oh, I got to have more of this. I remember everything just being a great first time, knowing that I'm coming back. I'm coming back for more.
How about here in Atlanta? That must have been a thrill, 96, being in the Olympics here in Atlanta.
Now, that was definitely a lot of years went by before we made it back to 1996. And by the time we got there, we'd already lost in Barcelona. So, which brings me to my book, Black Gold, which that's what it's all about. But 96 was huge. Reciting the Olympic oath, coming back to Atlanta, having to get tickets for my family, and playing on a stage where we were undefeated, going into those games and trying to close it out, having 8 games to perform perfectly just to be back on that gold medal stand was Atlanta was the hugest time. And it changed the face of women's basketball forever.
Teresa, tell us more about your book, Black Gold, the audio book. Can't wait to listen to you and hear this book. I'm hoping it's got some stories about you playing with your brothers in your grandmother's yard back in the day.
It definitely has those as my roots, man. It stems all the way from Cairo, Georgia, bouncing the ball between the tree roots and nailing a rim into my grandmother's beloved tree. And thinking that I was playing at Madison Square Garden or already in somebody's college arena, I mean, those are the roots of the book right there, because I went through some times where I think today they're calling it mental wear out, you know, or burnout. But for me, in the old days, it was you tough it out, you keep going, you push through it, blah, blah. But, well, when that time hit me, I hit a period in 1996 where I never knew I would be at that stage. My innocence of the game was kind of being stripped from me. In reality, I had to grow up as well. But how I handled that is in that book. And it really brought me back to Cairo. It brought me back to the women that raised me. It brought me back to the grounds in which I ran as a child and how those grounds built me. And I promise you, you're going to like it. It's in my voice. It's in the emotions I felt in those moments. And it's really bigger than just listening to someone sprout out statistics of games. It's experiences. And I really do think a vast majority of the people can relate to it.
I can't wait to check it out. And you've done such a wonderful job transitioning from being a player into a coach and now a commentator. Speaking of that, what do you think of our chances this U.S. Olympic women's Olympic team in the Olympics going on right now? What do you make of our group?
I think our women are going to put their best foot forward. I'm proud of the fact that Dawn Staley is a head coach. I played with her. Now I'm watching her do her thing on the sidelines, and now she's an Olympic head coach, which is an amazing feat. I know Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi is right there. I guess surpassing my record, 5-time Olympians now, if they get the 5 gold, and I have 4 gold and a bronze, they're looking at me going, hey, we got you, old lady, which is great. Which is great. So I want them to have that motivation to go in there, continue this streak of gold medal run since 1996, this would be our 7th if we can get atop of that podium. We do have some challenges. We have some teams just like the men. We're dealing with the same challenges. People are playing really great ball around the world. They're catching up to us, or at least they're tired of us. One or the other, we got to play some good basketball to get there again.
Teresa, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today on the Bulldog Roundtable on the Buck Belue Show. Great thrill having you on and wishing you nothing but the best as you move forward. Can't wait to check out Black Gold either.
You better do it, Buck. I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. The GOAT, Teresa Edwards, coming on the show today. Man, we got all these big hitters coming on. Pretty awesome. Speaking of big hitters, Ken Nugent and the Atlanta Braves are teaming up to give back to Georgia's first responders. Ken is donating $500 per series to an ambulance driver, firefighter, paramedic, or EMT. To nominate a local hero that you know, go to attorneykennugent.com. Winners will be announced each series and each Monday during the Tom Glavine Show right here on The Fan at 4:30. That was pretty awesome. Having Teresa on. Coming up, the final word. We'll wrap it up. Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. We're sponsored by Wellstar Health System. You get those two Braves tickets, we give those away. We're bribing these people just to listen to the show. Therese Edwards, fantastic road dog. Great job setting that up.
Yeah, I thought she did a great job. I'm sure her book is very interesting, and hearing the author voice it on those audiobooks is always a bonus for me, so highly recommend that. Black Gold, available wherever you get your audiobooks, I'm sure, right now.
Yeah, we were on campus together for a little bit of time. Winter and spring of 1982, I believe it was. It was just a couple of years ago. Obviously, have tracked her career ever since. What an impressive person she is, man. Totally got nothing but respect out there for her. All right, so we're out a little early with the early Braves game today. I better get to the final word. And the final word today, I've completed an independent poll of Georgia Bulldogs season ticket holders. And I started off at the coffee shop hearing a little of these complaints. And so I thought, you know, I wonder how big this is. So I conducted an independent poll. You know, when I go to Publix, stop by the dry cleaners, bouncing around town a little bit, I'll throw this out. I'll say, look, I know you're a Bulldog fan, so wanted to see what this results of this. And I found that 97% of the Georgia Bulldog season ticket holders are totally behind the super conference concept. And they're behind it for one reason. They're frustrated with paying all that money to be a season ticket holder and getting a lousy home schedule. Me, Mr. Georgia Football. No, wait a minute. I was just kidding. I don't have a nickname.
I thought you were the Prince of Baseball. Yeah, I can't keep up with them all.
I know. I'm just fooling around today.
Are you the King of College Football?
No, look, I don't have a fancy nickname. Buck was the nickname given at birth, so I can't have another one. So I don't blame them for being underwhelmed. And it seems to happen every other year. This season, the Georgia season ticket holder is paying a premium price to see these games at Sanford Stadium, Vince Dooley Field. UAB, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, and Charleston Southern. Now, folks, that's pretty lame, especially when you're paying top dollar to pull on Georgia. And look, Road Dog, you pulled this up before the show today. You can actually buy a three-team package now.
Yeah, the mini package they're selling right now, $210 a ticket. And you pick from two of the rivals, and then you get one of those cupcake games. It's not very attractive to me either. We were talking about what your options would be and my options would be, but, you know, they're trying to move it. I think but what you're doing right now, if you're getting in with the Hartman Fund and buying season ticket packages, you're looking ahead to when those big games are coming to Sanford Stadium, like Oklahoma and Texas and Ohio State and in Oregon's, and you're getting the opportunity for those right now.
Yeah, and that's the final word today. Appreciate you hanging out on the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan. Matt Lear, our engineer today. Nernie was able to do some shopping for clothes, as I understand. Adam Gillespie, John Radcliffe. It's going to do it for us. The Ford Leadoff Show next. Go Braves!
I'm out of here.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.